And now with this morning's program, here's your host, LaVon Eblen.
Good morning, and welcome to Backyard and Beyond, and welcome to Thanksgiving Day. Well, Emily Kringle and I have been working on some soups and stews, and we did a program the other day for the wellness group at the courthouse, and this all relates to a story, a legend that I want to share with you, and so kind of this is imagination, kind of got to let your mind be creative here. It's about three sisters. Once upon a time, very long ago, there were three sisters who lived together in a field. These sisters were quite different from one another in their size and also in their way of dressing. One of the three was a little sister, so young that she could only crawl at first, and she was dressed in green. The second of the three wore a frock of bright yellow, and she had a way of running off by herself when the sun shone and the soft wind blew in her face. The third was the eldest sister, standing always very straight and tall above the other sisters and trying to guard them. She wore a pale green shawl, and she had a long yellow hair that tossed about her head in the breezes. Remember, this is a legend, and it's an Indian legend. There was only one way in which the three sisters were alike. They loved one another very dearly, and they were never separated. They were sure that they would not be able to live apart. After a while, a stranger came to the field of the three sisters, a little Indian boy. He was as straight as an arrow and as fearless as the eagle that circled the sky above his head. He knew the way of talking to the birds and the small brothers of the earth, the shrew, the chipmunk, and the young foxes. And the three sisters, the one who was just able to crawl, the one in the yellow frock, and the one with the flowing hair, were very much interested in this little Indian boy. They watched him fit his arrow in his bow, saw him carve a bowl with his stone knife, and wondered where he went at night. Late in the summer of the first coming of the Indian boy to their field, one of the three sisters disappeared. This was the youngest sister in green, the sister who could only creep. She was scarcely able to stand alone in the field unless she had a stick to which she clung. Her sisters mourned for her until the fall, but she did not return. Once more, the Indian boy came to the field of the three sisters. He came to gather reeds at the edge of the stream nearby to make arrow shafts. The two sisters who were left watched him and gazed with wonder at the prints of his moccasins in the earth that marked his trail. That night, the second of the sisters left, the one who was dressed in yellow and who always wanted to run away. She left no mark of her going, but it may have been that she set her feet in the moccasin tracks of the little Indian boy. Now there was but one left of the sisters. Tall and straight, she stood in the field, not once bowing her head with sorrow, but it seemed to her that she could not live there alone. The days grew shorter, and the nights were colder. Her green shawl faded and grew thin and old. Her hair, once long and golden, was tangled by the wind. Day and night she sighed for her sisters to return to her, but they did not hear her. Her voice, when she tried to call on them, was low and plaintive like the wind. But one day, when it was the season of the harvest, the little Indian boy heard the crying of the third sister who had been left to mourn there in the field. He felt sorry for her, so he took her in his arms and carried her to the lodge of his father and mother. Oh, what a surprise awaited her there! Her two lost sisters were there in the lodge of the little Indian boy, safe and very glad to see her. They had been curious about the Indian boy, and they had gone home with him to see how and where he lived. They had liked that warm lodge so well that they had decided now that winter was coming on to stay with him, and they were doing all they could to be useful. The little sister in green, now quite grown up, was helping to keep the dinner pot full. The sister in yellow sat on the shelf drying herself, for she planned to fill the dinner pot later. The third sister joined them, ready to grind meal for the Indian boy. And the three were never separated again. So now, if you've thought about the three sisters and their characteristics and knowing this is Indian legend, perhaps you can identify that the little green one that crawled were beans, The yellow one that wanted to run away was squash. And the third one that was left in the field to get a little drier and harvest in the fall, that was tall and green at the beginning with the yellow flowing hair, that was corn. So, evermore, those three have been put together as a great meal. Corn, beans, and squash were among the first important crops domesticated by the ancient Indian societies, and corn was the primary crop, providing more calories of energy than any of the other. But the other two together provide a great protein source. So, for the vegetarians, this is a great combination, whether it's in a soup, a stew, a casserole, even eaten separately at the same meal, a great combination, the three sisters, corn, beans, and squash. Well, some folks have followed up with this past the Native Americans, and thank goodness at Thanksgiving's time that the early settlers learned from the Indians that these were three crops that they could plant together. Not only are they good for us together, they're also good for the garden when planted together because they sort of nourish each other, the beans putting some nitrogen into the air or into the soil, and they can be planted in a relatively small space together. The corn usually is planted first, followed by the beans, and they can be the beans can be planted around the corn stalks, and finally the squash, and the squash kind of fills up the area. And of course the beans can sometimes crawl up the corn stalks using them as a place to hold them up, just as in the story. So if you are interested in growing the three sisters, well, there are specific instructions if you need those on the internet, or of course I have them. I'll be glad to share them with you. And it's kind of fun to grow the three sisters and use them accordingly. Now, I must comment that the little green one, of course, in this case, is allowed to dry so that it ends up to be like pinto beans, navy beans, and so on. In the recipe we used pinto beans along with canned corn or frozen corn and also squash. And the squash is usually a winter squash. Could be butternut, could be acorn, but any winter squash would be a good one. Of course, the winter squash are the ones that are deep yellow in color and have more nutritional value than those summer squashes that are usually white on the interior. So we can learn from the legend. We can learn from those who first planted them together to form this perfect grouping in the garden and form a perfect combination in terms of nutrition. Now, of course, if you would like to add some meat to this kind of combination, you're most welcome. In the stew, in the soup that we made, we added chicken, but you could add leftover ham, you could use leftover ground beef or fresh ground beef. Any pre-cooked meat might go in this combination with the corn, beans, and squash. And you might want to add a few onions and a little bit of maybe rosemary or maybe some poultry seasoning. The options are open. And if anyone would like the actual recipe, and I hear folks say that they serve the best soups at the Cass County Memorial Hospital cafeteria, this is one of the soups that's a favorite. We would be glad to share that recipe with you for the Three Sisters soup. So, hope you've enjoyed this story. Hope you can use it someday. Perhaps it's one of those things that you can make ahead, let stand in the refrigerator overnight, and it gets even better. But remember the legend of the three sisters, corn, beans, and squash. So until next time, here's a thought. There are two things to aim at in life. First, to get what you want, and after that, to enjoy it. And I would say the third thing is to be thankful for it. But only the wisest of people have achieved all three.
Shop the Thanksgiving sale this week at Tanner's Fashions in downtown Atlantic. Tanner's is giving thanks to our customers with savings of 20 to 50% off on all Missy and Petite clothing, shoes, and accessories. Tanner's has a large selection of holiday merchandise, and the friendly, helpful sales staff will be happy to gift wrap your purchase. Shop and save at Tanner's Thanksgiving sale all this week. Remember Tanner's for quality fashion, shoes, and accessories for both the young and the young at heart.
We're glad you could join us for today's edition of Backyard and Beyond with LaVon Eblen, brought to you by Tanner's Fashions, top quality women's clothing, where browsers are welcome, buyers adored.